Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to West Side Visions on Blog Talk Radio. This is Brother Bullock. Sister Reed, are you out there?
I am here. Hey.
You know, for some reason there's something crazy going on, but we're going to get through this.
Yes. Yes, indeed. We're going to get through it and have a good time.
All right. So, you know, I wanted to make sure that today, after all we've been dealing with politically and whatnot, even though we're going to deal with some stuff politically tonight, we are going to have a lighthearted show and move right on through it.
Yes. Yes. And, you know, it's the summertime. Things are heating up. Politically, no pun intended. Politically and weather-wise. And, you know, people are recognizing that it is cookout and barbecue season. So I'm so happy we're doing this show, and we're going to have fun with this.
Yes, indeed. Yes, indeed. Because, you know, as you know, we all growing up have had people in our family who swear up and down that they were the best cooks in America and nobody could touch what they was doing. And you know, you have the family get-togethers on the weekends or on a holiday. And, of course, you know, you always had the cliques and the crews that got together, and it was always something to be said. And then on the other side of that coin, there was always something going on that you talked about at the barbecue.
Yeah, that's an important thing, and that's something that's like a wildfire. Somebody gets this started, and before you know it, everybody knows it. Everybody knows it.
And everybody knew it. And no matter how you tried to keep the madness down, it was coming out. And that's what's getting ready to happen this year, this summer, this election season, as we attend a different barbecue here, there, and yonder. It's going to happen.
Exactly. And just to put this in context, y'all, you know, Brother Bullock and I talked about who to invite and who not to invite to a cookout. Now, a lot of times people online on the Internet talk about a cookout, and they're talking about, you know, like when white folks do something, and I'm not trying to say that in a negative way, but when white folks say something that is even remotely related to black people or black culture, and they're acting decent or just an act of confidence, there will be a chorus of Negroes who will say, well, they can come to the barbecue. They can come to the cookout. And, okay. And then we have our regular family gatherings with our regular characters, cast of characters that Brother Bullock alluded to before. So we're going to be talking about both sides of the barbecue. And so y'all just going to have to keep up and call in if you want to, because it's going to be fun.
Yes, indeed. Sister Reed, give them the call-in number if you don't mind.
Okay. The call-in number is 999-563-3043.
That's right. That call-in number is 563-999-3043.
Thank you, Brother Bullock. Thank you, Brother Bullock. I'm not looking at the number, and I was trying to do it from memory. So, excuse me, everybody. It's cookout season.
Yeah, you know,
I haven't been nipping.
We had a moment, but see, we allowed because, you know, once upon a time, we was the young bucks. Well, now we the seniors. So, hey, we have to do it that way.
Joel is, because I better be looking at it, because I'm going to get my numbers jumbled up. So, but yeah, man, and I, you know what? I'm happy to be a senior. I'm happy to be an elder, and I'm happy to be able to sit and lean over to somebody and say, now look at that. Look at so-and-so bringing in that food they know ain't nobody going to eat. And, you know, and talking about it. So, yeah, it's nothing personal. We're just having fun tonight. We're having fun.
We just having fun tonight. Exactly.
Yes.
And that's all we're doing. We're having fun, and we're going to talk about some things in the news. And, you know, let me say this right quick. Nationally renowned voting rights lawyer, Mr. Dale Ho, was confirmed to be a federal district court judge in the New York Southern District. He was nominated by the Biden administration, and he was confirmed by the Senate. So, yeah, I'm going to tell you now, that brother, that man, he can come to the barbecue, and he can come in the front gate.
He can come in the barbecue. And you know what? We're going to make it easy on him. He ain't got to bring nothing but himself. We'll give him a pass on this one.
Exactly, because when you have been out there working for civil rights for as long as he has, oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Because, you know, he has seen his share of battles.
Yes. Yes, he has. So he's earned a plate, and we give him – I don't know, Brother Bullock, what should we do for our rating? Should we give it 5 ribs, 5 links, or how we want to do that, maybe?
Well, you know what? We ain't going to try to stuff him, but I'm going to tell you what we're going to do. We're going to give him 2 links. We're going to give him, like, 2 ribs. We're going to give him a quarter of a chicken. We can get some potato salad and greens and some hot water cornbread.
Okay, see, now he's going to need 2 plates for that.
And we're going to get the full plate.
Yeah, because, and we, you know what? We're going to have the people that bring up the aluminum foil, bring enough aluminum foil to cover his plate. Yes.
Girl, yes. Now you know we're going to have the plate makers at the cookout.
That's right.
They didn't
that's right.
Okay. They come with their own Tupperware now. They come ready to pack up and seal up and break camp.
You know that's right. You know that's right. That is true. I got tears in my eyes right now just picturing some of my relatives. Ain't going to bring nothing but they self and their Tupperware. That's right. That's
well, see,
right.
That's why I mentioned it, because I have some relatives who do that. You know, like when you go to Denny's and you have leftovers, that container you get. Like when you have leftover pancakes and eggs and they give you that container with the 3 different sections.
Right, right.
They will show up with 4 or 5 of them, and the minute they hit the dough, they don't even speak. They go straight to the kitchen and start loading up. Can you say hi first?
And hey, the bigger ones are people who bring folks with them. I got relatives. They ain't going to bring nothing but going to bring people with them. Auntie, grandma, is it okay if so-and-so eat? Now, how you going to say no when they standing right there?
Exactly. They going to bring them with and put you on front street.
Exactly. Exactly. So, of course, you going to smile and say, no, it's no problem. We got plenty. So, but, yeah, so that person that you named should definitely be coming to the barbecue. You know who I named off, and I was thinking about this yesterday, is Sister Vice President Kamala Harris. She was at the Juneteenth celebration, I believe it was, at the Greek Theater in L.A., and she seemed to be having a good time, and everybody seemed to be having a good time. So I want to give a shout-out to that sister and say, yeah, she can come.
You just want to invite her because she an AKA.
Well, hey, pinkies out, everybody. Don't be mad at the green and pink. Pinkies out, y'all.
Hey, but
you know what? That's the 5-9. That's
Stephanie. Yeah, you got to be hot. That performance done by the Divine Nine, because I'm a Sigma, and my wife, she was a Delta.
I know.
That the Divine Nine did, brought tears, brought, made me tear up.
It was hot. It was fire.
It was hot.
It really
if you know the Greek history, then you know what our folks went through. It do
yes,
something
it
to you.
It does. It really does. And so I'm proud. You know, I was proud to see him up there, and it brought back memories when I was online. And I know that Glenda is probably looking down from heaven and saying, yep, I remember that too. You know, I remember being online and having to go through all that. So this is part of our culture and our history, yes.
That's part of our culture. And, you know, I even got to get accused of shout out because for once, they wasn't acting ignorant, wasn't nobody fighting. And they performed with everybody else and acted like they had some sense.
See? Now, okay, you bring up a very interesting aspect of the whole barbecue culture. Now, I can't speak for everybody's family, and I'm only speaking about parts of my family, that if you're going to have a family get together, you're always going to have somebody that's tipping the bottle a little bit too frequently and have to be, you know, guided to a bedroom so they can lay down and take a nap. So to all of y'all that want to do that, we still love you. No problem.
Yeah, they still want to, because you already know that's what they're going to do. And if we having the cookout and we out at the park, we always reserve a section where we put up some covering, got some blankets and some pillows, some little cots out there. Because know Auntie Sugar going to drink one too many.
One too many.
Then you're going to sit at the table and start telling everybody business.
See, that's what happens. Loose lips and nothing, and therefore you got to go lay down.
Yeah, man, because you know after that it's going to be open season. Everything going to come out. You know Junebug ain't really that boy daddy. You know you're going to hear this mess.
I know. I know. And even if everybody knows it, it's going to be somebody there that don't know it. And they're going to be, what? Well, do tell. And then it's going to get told it. So.
Yeah. Yeah. You know, you're going to have a few out at the end of the click that know family history, but they don't know all family history. And they part of the family. They're going to be like, well, ain't nobody never told me that. And you're going to hear somebody say, nobody told you because you can't hold water.
Now, that's a good one. That's true. That's true. And it's
that's
always
why
gonna be
you
somebody,
didn't know.
That's right. It's going to be somebody there who not they can't hold water, and it's going to be somebody there who get their business told whose water is shallow, and they're going to be crying.
Exactly. It's going to be a problem.
Yes, indeedy. Yes, indeedy. So these are the aspects of the barbecue cookout that we're going to be talking about. We're talking about the family aspect, and that's just for us melanin folks, and then we're going to be talking about the other aspect. And, you know, along with Kamala Harris, I really would like to see the Obamas and their kids, but, you know, their kids are grown now, so they might not want to come. They might not want to come to a cookout with their parents.
The thing about them is they pretty much, even though they are a little bit older, they still kind of roll with mom and dad because they realize that mom and dad got it like that. And mom and dad go places where they really getting it on, so they going to go and reap the benefits.
I can't believe it. Looking at those girls now, I can see what you're saying, and I agree with that. I see what you're saying. I agree with that. And if they hang out, they're going to meet some people that they're going to learn from and all of that, because the great thing about those girls is that they were not so sheltered, that they don't know about how to work. They have a work ethic. You know, they obviously value education because they both went to school. And this is important. So, and the cool thing about the Obamas is that Michelle had her mom living in the White House with them to help bring up those kids. Now, if that is not a multi-generational family love story, I don't know what is. I really don't.
Man, you know, and I tell you straight up, ain't nothing like kicking it with granny, because I was one of them cats. I got to kick it with both my grandmothers, and I loved every minute of it.
You are blessed, man. You are blessed. My paternal grandmother had already passed by the time I got here, me and my sisters got here. But my maternal grandmother was here, but her health wasn't good. But you know what? The wisdom.
Exactly.
And she was able to share. That was priceless. So, yes, grandma's blessing.
That, you know, I realized, you know, that I was a very fortunate man. Like I said, I got to kick it with my great uncles and aunts. And, you know, one of my grandfathers who worked for the railroad, I got to kick it with. And these are very valuable things and lessons. And I was smart enough to realize that a lot of people didn't get it.
Yeah, that's true. That's true. And so we're giving a shout out to all you millennials and Gen Xers and Gen Zers, and listen to your elders. You might think they're just creaky and old and a pain in the ass, but they also have wisdom, because you don't get old being no fool. Trust and believe. That is true.
That's the truth. That's a true statement right there. And I'm going to piggyback on that and let you know. A lot of you are out here talking about, you know, boomers, what they're not, and they ain't this, and, you know, they're just stodgy. No, we're not. And trust and believe, when we take time enough to speak to you, we try and impart some wisdom on you. You know, and
right.
I know a lot of you look at that and be like, oh, they want to be bossy. No, we're not trying to be bossy. We trying to help you navigate a landmine that we have navigated already.
That's right. That's right. But, you know, so many folks, so many younger folks want to be show me kind of people. And it's like they don't believe what you tell them. They got to find it out for themselves. So my grandma, my mom's mom, used to say hard heads make for soft behinds. So, you know, when we're trying to tell you something, just be mindful and respectful and just listen. And just listen. It'll save you a lot of heartache down the road.
Now,
it really will.
Somebody else that I feel like can get an invite to the barbecue for me is Nancy Pelosi. Nancy Pelosi get an invite to the barbecue. Not only.
Please tell us why, because the girl is tough. She tough.
Yeah. Not only did Nancy leave the House when she was there, and when I say she led the House, she didn't just lead the Democrats. She led the Republicans, too, whether they wanted to admit it or not. And
they don't admit it. But
a lot of times, Nancy got things done where other folks were whining and sniveling and crying, and Nancy put that heel down and said, look here, you ain't got the right to what you got to do in order for the country to survive.
Right. This is how we're going to do it. And Lord knows.
And this is how she,
yes. Yeah. No, well, listen, if it wasn't for her, we wouldn't have the affordable health care. You know, people call it Obamacare and want to down it, but the fact of the matter is that thousands and thousands of Americans are now covered with health insurance that they need to live. So, hey, hats off to Nancy Pelosi. For
yes,
sure,
indeed.
For sure.
She constantly stayed in the battle. She constantly went nose to nose with 45 when he was president.
Yep.
Nancy was no judge, and she was no pushover.
No, she wasn't. And, you know, when people were pushing for her to retire, she was like, look, now that we've done this, I got to stay and protect it, you know, until the next president, you know, comes in, and then we know who came in. And so she stayed and fought that battle. So that's a good barbecue cookout choice, Brother Bullock. Well done.
You know, she's been through some things, but you know, Nancy is like that aunt you get that has been out there living life, and she cool, but she hard.
Absolutely. And, you know, and she's one of those kind of people, like the auntie that you're talking about, that's so cool that she's going to be quiet about a lot of things. She's going to save more than she share about a lot of things, because sometimes she's been through it and she knows sometimes you just got to see it for yourself. You know,
exactly.
You got to live it for yourself and find that out. And that's the way it is with politics. And I often wonder, the young people, they called them, I guess it was like the Gang of Four, the new upstarts and the Democrats with Ocasio-Cosso and Japaya. Yes, all those four women. I wonder if they had a confab with Nancy and there was any back and forth talk with them, because Nancy could teach them a lot. She could teach them a lot about brinksmanship and getting things done politically.
Why does he teach? You know, they tried to stir it up for a hot moment, but they got put in check real quick.
Yeah, they did. Yeah, they did. I have heard that. And so I guess they learned. Because it's something
some things you don't, yeah. You know, they, like most freshmen, they rolled in there thinking they ish didn't stink. Oh, I can just roll in here and do this. But they found out you just don't walk up the hall of Congress and start showing out. See, unlike the Republican Party, who sit back and let these fools howl at the moon and act crazy and don't put in check, the Democrats wasn't playing them. Them senior Democrats was, look here, let me holler at you for a minute.
See. No, they ran a tight ship. They did, and they had to, because it's so much on the line. It is so much on the line, and that's what's going to really have to happen right now with, you know, what's going on with our party. And, you know, I don't know, we're probably going to go back and forth, Brother Bullock, but I want to just share somebody that I feel should not come to the cookout. And this is somebody who's a Democrat, and that's Hunter Biden. Hunter, you know, I'm sure, you know, Jill and Joe love you, but you just got too much baggage. You can't come to the cookout.
Hunter, unfortunately, he dragged around steamer trunks.
Yep, he is.
And right now, you know, he you know, I give him credit. He's trying to pull it together, but you ain't quite there.
Not quite. Because when he did not have a substance abuse problem at the same time that he was getting that gun registration and stuff, I was like, oh, Lord. You know, everybody know that you do. So why are you standing on national TV like you did?
You know, and the thing about that is, I sat there and I looked at, you know, what the charges were concerning the deal that was made. Having worked part-time for the IRS, I can tell you honestly, hit them charges right there, that happens on a daily basis. You get a form and read that all day long at the IRS.
Yeah.
And a deal is made, so that they can pay the fine and keep it moving.
But the GOP want to make something out of it. And so I'm just talking on a basic level. I have no problem with Hunter. But, you know, it's he got some work to do. He got some work to do.
Because,
I'm sure he's going to do it.
You know, being the president's son, there's a bigger picture in view. So, yes, he has to approach it a certain way. Now, just like you, I have somebody that I definitely don't want to see at the barbecue, don't want to see him parking the car, don't want to see him peeking over the gate. And that's George Sticky Finger Santos.
Oh, ouch. Yeah, he pretty
George Santos can't come nowhere near the barbecue.
Mm-mm. No.
Because the boy
that's
don't
a hard
keep his hands to himself. He don't know how to keep his hands to himself. The boy will pick up anything he see and claim it for his own.
See, yeah, this is true. This is true. And since,
speaking of George, get your popcorn ready because it's Thursday. Federal judge has said we can find out who the people were who guaranteed his bond.
See.
And that's going to come out Thursday.
The fallout is going to be mighty. I mean, the stench of his royal orangeness is going to be high, and that is somebody else we definitely don't want it to cook out. We don't want his royal orangeness and any of his tangerines.
Are you talking about he that attracts flies?
That is the one. That is the one. This is the one that's still talking about that he won the 2020 election. Yes, him.
Oh, we definitely don't want him at the cookout because it's enough lying going on as it is. We don't need no more.
No.
No,
and I just found out today that the attorney, I believe his name is George Eastman. George Eastman is just about to lose his license to practice law in California for his involvement in that whole January 6th debacle, because he's the cat that told people, that told his royal orangeness that Pence could overturn the 2020 election, which was a flat-out rule. So Eastman, he's one of the flies that 45 attracted. He gonna get swatted.
Oh, yeah. And it is a shame that you have some out there that, you know, they ain't got sense enough to know when to step back and step away.
Mm-hmm.
You know, that's like that person at the cookout that sit down at the spades table knowing they don't know how to bid.
Perpetrating. Mm-hmm.
And if you know like I know, there is no sin bigger than sitting down at the spades table and making a mockery of your hand, and you got a partner over there that know what they doing.
See, absolutely. Same thing.
You make an extra work for them. They got to carry you and try to make they bid.
That's right. That's right, and don't sprinkle any Hennessy or Royal Crown in there. You got yourself a problem. You got a little problem. This is true. This is very true. So I know that for the last little while we've been talking about politicians, and I'm not switching up. I'm just throwing in one of my can't comes that just happens to be a celebrity. And this is Kanye West. And his most recent Kim replacement. I'm sorry, Kanye, but you can't come because I know who you bring.
you wouldn't let Yeezy come.
I can't handle it. I can't handle the big shoulders. I cannot handle this new Kanye. Now, see, the old Kanye could come, according to the youngins. But this new Kanye post Kim, I didn't like him with Kim. So Kanye can't come. He can't come.
I'm one of them people.
Cool.
Yeah, I'm one of them people. I can't do Yeezy in any incarnation. I can't do it.
See.
I can't do it. I understand, you know, he went through some things, and I will always say when he lost his guiding light, when his mom died, he truly became a different person. I think his mom was the main one that kept him on his meds and kept him balanced. Mm-hmm. And after she passed, all people was doing was using him to get money and whatever.
Exactly, exactly. And isn't that just the saddest thing that happens to so many of our black celebrities? It happens to them, really, when it comes down to it, nobody's looking out for their best interest, and it's unfortunate that it's like that. I have a special distaste for these women who are having babies by these black celebrities just so that they can get paid, quote-unquote. I think that is just horrific, but that's me. I'm talking about everybody from Nicole Brown to, may she rest in peace, no disrespect, to everybody else, and that includes Kim Kardashian and her sisters.
Well, yeah, because if you look at that particular family, and let's just be honest, if the Kardashians were sisters, do you know how they would get drugged for what they do?
See.
Now, it always amazes me that they will appropriate black culture from box braid to booty shorts, and everybody think it's cool.
See, exactly.
But when a sister turn around and do the same thing, they want to drag them. How you going to drag them for doing what our culture created? But yet, you give them folks, the Beckys, a pass.
Right. And isn't that something that those folks who accept them are so insecure that you got to be validated by some white chick in order for it to be okay? I don't think so. That's like Bo Derek back in the day wearing cornrows when African women have been wearing them for hundreds and hundreds of years and being beautiful doing it.
Exactly.
So you are right. You are right.
Yeah, you're right. Yeah, you're absolutely correct with that, because you would see sisters with braids back in the 70s, and there was always a negative statement made about it. The minute Bo Derek did it, all of a sudden, it was magnificent. It was breathtaking. Yeah. It was changing images.
Yes.
Okay.
And isn't it interesting that, and we don't talk about this enough, or maybe we do, but I am not privy always to those conversations where it's true that white society, white culture, they will adore black culture and still hate black people. And you know how that is. I mean, look at hip hop. Look at the white rappers that came and did their thing and making all this money, not to mention the record producers and the record company who are making all this money off of black
people. Well, I tell you what, let's just keep it real. Let's go back to the 70s. Hollywood had ran its course. Musicals were no longer cool. Their little family films were falling by the wayside. Their little detective dramas were falling by the wayside. And somebody, Gordon Parks filmed Shaft.
Same. Yes.
And one of the white distribution companies, I don't know if it was Warner Brothers or Paramount, one of them got into it. And all of a sudden, the movie blew up and saved them from being destitute. Every major studio in Hollywood started doing black exploitation films.
Yeah, that's true.
Cotton didn't only come to Harlem. Cotton came to Hollywood.
Yeah, it did. And saved it. But these are the things that they don't want you to talk about. These are the things that they don't want you to talk about. And isn't it ironic that we're still talking about this in 2023, that there is not adequate equity, black equity in Hollywood. It's just, and this is
not
why
in Hollywood.
It's important to talk about this. Yes.
Yeah, not in Hollywood. Not in our neighborhoods. to this day.
True.
For every $100 that white families get, we get $5.35.
And that's just the truth. So it's not like we crying about something that's made up. We talking facts. We talking facts, baby. That's just the way that it is. And that's what
that's
we
the
do
way
on
that
this show. We tell the truth.
And
we
you know, they don't get it.
They really don't. So but yeah, Brother Bullock and I are talking today about who is invited and who is not invited to the cookout. And I'm just going to throw one more name out there, Brother Bullock, because we had talked about this previously, and I had mentioned Cornel West, and you mentioned Tavis Smiley and why they can't come to the cookout.
That's
a hard no. Yes.
That is a hard no. When you attack my president, 44, and his family, you can forget about it.
Mm-hmm.
Now, Cornel West has taught at some of the finest, most prestigious institutions in America. But because President Obama didn't bow down to Cornel West and Tavis Smiley, he was supposed to give them these super accolades, and why, I don't know, because they didn't really do that much for him.
No, they did
all
not.
All of a sudden, they was on the We Hate Obama tour.
Thank you, and it was a tour. They crisscrossed the country.
Oh, yeah. Talking about why he shouldn't be supported, why we shouldn't have his back. He lit us down. No, that's your personal feelings.
That's right. That's right. So, yes. So they definitely cannot come.
They can't even drive down the street. They can't even drive by.
Dang. They can't even smell the grill. That's cold, man. That's cold. Ooh.
They get
man.
Nothing.
So who you got over there? Who you got over there? That's either coming or not coming.
Well, you know, I'm going to tell you now. Katie Hobbs, the governor of Arizona.
Oh, Lord.
She can come. She can come.
Okay.
Because I have been a staunch opponent of Katie, even though she's a Democrat. But today, Katie did something that made me look at her in a different light. She made sure that the water rights and water service was restored to Rio Vista out in the foothills. And she vetoed those culture board measures in the state of Arizona that they were trying to put up, attacking drag shows, attacking contractors who hired black and Latino workers.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
And so I'll just be honest, based on that, she can come.
All right.
I understand the battle that she's fighting in Red Arizona.
Yes, indeed. I don't think I could live there, but
Dealing with people like Carrie Lake, Joe Aguayo,
Yeah, isn't that the guy that they were calling America's sheriff?
He was the guy they was calling America's sheriff. And the thing about America's sheriff was, he was only targeting blacks and Hispanics and American Indians.
That's right.
He had a problem with the color brown.
See. Yeah, all these people would definitely be turned away. So, kick to the curb. You can't come. Exit stage right. Thank you, but no thank you. So,
man.
Yeah. I know, and it what can you say? So there are obvious ones that we don't want to see, you know, and
no.
The sad part about who you call Hot Wheels Abbott is that barbecue was pretty much perfected in Texas, and we know why he can't come, you know.
We know exactly why he can't come, and,
yes.
You know, he did some Bozo the Clown stuff today, and for those of you who may be out there listening, look here, the call-in number, 563-999-3043. Give us a call. Tell us about who you would like to see or not see at a barbecue in your area. Shout-out to all my online listeners and those who go back and listen to the show in the archives, those that listen in other countries. Like I tell you all the time, we really appreciate you, and thank you for thinking about us. Because we know there is so much more we could be doing.
Yes, absolutely. Well, you know, Tony, I'm so glad that you said that. And, you know, we say a lot, well, I don't know about a lot, but we say sometimes on this show that all politics are local. Well, the city council in Mississippi Fresno recently passed an ordinance that said that homeless people can no longer occupy sidewalks. And
right.
I know this to be true. I was getting myself something to eat yesterday, just about 8 o'clock, a little bit after eight, sundown. And I was passing by this popular little donut shop on the west side, and I saw seven or eight people like lined up in front of the shop. And I know, you know, vandalism and stuff. I'm thinking there's a break-in at the laundromat next door or whatever. They were homeless people. But the sidewalk was clear, but they're lined up in front of these two businesses. And I'm thinking, city council, Fresno City Council, what's wrong with y'all? This is not a solution. We understand that you want to get yourself elected the next rung up for board of supervisor or state senate or state assembly. We understand that, but don't do it on the backs of homeless people. So you guys definitely cannot come to the cookout. That's a big no-no.
Yeah. The Fresno City Council should definitely know better. And, you know, the other side of that coin, what hurts me is this here.
Mm.
They already know these people are destitute. They already know what they are going through because they kind of put them behind the eight ball with some of the ordinances they have been passing. And the fact that the majority of the Fresno City Council is Latino, and they know what these people go through. But yet, it's like they go out of their way to pass these bills that they know is going to hurt these folks.
Right. So
and
who are they?
Nothing
that's
it.
The question. Yes, Brother Bullock, and I agree with you. So who are they trying to please? Who are they trying to please to get votes from when they do stuff like this that they know is not cool? We know
Right. Well, you just mentioned, you know, taking that next step, and a lot of them have made no secret that some of them plan to run for county supervisor.
Right.
Some of them, God bless their soul, have been bold enough to say that they plan on running for state office. And I'll be real honest with you. I don't see none of them making a state office.
See, I know. It's a big leap. It's a big leap. The only person that I know who has done it successfully in the last, I don't know, 10 years is somebody like Jim Patterson here in Fresno. But Jim Patterson was mayor. He was not just, you know, city council. He was the mayor of Fresno for a few years. And so that leap, I can kind of understand that. But to go from, that's going to be a hard hill to climb. But we'll see.
Yeah. But see, that's what they do. They will, you know, certain ones will play that role and make do what they do best, make them little backdoor deals.
Mm-hmm.
Hoping that they would get support further down the line when they decide to run for a bigger office.
Right. Right. So, yeah. So not cookout worthy. Not cookout worthy. No. Uh-uh.
But I'm going to tell you who is. Tyler Perry can come to the cookout.
Only
because, you know, a lot of people are talking about the fact that he recently purchased BET and Viacom, which, and I hope that with him purchasing those two entities, that BET kind of returns to its old ways and actually brings more black news.
Exactly.
News. Let me say that again.
Yes.
News.
Right.
And bring gospel back.
Yes. News and commentary. And in that sense, like you said, Tyler Perry, he's the man. And I also want to give a shout out to the brother Byron Allen, who controls the Griot and the weather station. And so this is kind of piggybacking on what you said, but I'm saying this because the Griot, the commentary portions of that network are really something else. And I like listening to Ebony Williams and Mark Lamont Hill. I mean, I like it. I like hearing younger voices. I like knowing what's going on in the community. So Tyler Perry, yes, indeed.
And the reason why Tyler gets, you know, I could have him come, like I said, it's just not about him buying BET and buying Viacom. But Tyler Perry, for the most part, has been a true humanitarian. He has stepped out and helped a whole lot of folks. He allowed Whitney Houston's family to use his jet to bring her body home. He has helped send young kids to college. And not just black kids, so don't get it twisted, people.
No.
Tyler Perry has done.
He's done a lot that people just don't know about.
And you know, he definitely can. But I'm gonna tell you somebody who definitely I don't want to see nowhere near the cookout. And that is Tim Mushmouth Scott, Senator from North Carolina.
Tim can't come. You know, you can look at Tim and see he ain't missed no.
You know Tim can't come. I don't even know why you know Tim can't come.
I'm playing the devil's advocate. I don't want Tim there either. Because Tim has got tap dance itis. He's like that tap dancing raccoon. I call it shuffling, but that tap dancing raccoon. Yes,
Tim Scott.
Yes.
Has made an art out of buck dancing.
Yeah,
anytime you sell your people out, you get no barbecue chicken. You get no ribs. You get nothing.
Nope.
Go on down there to the Freddie Mart and get you a hot dog because you get nothing from here.
Hello.
We got nothing for you.
You know what's so frustrating, Brother Bullock, is that I don't know if he actually knows how big of a boob he is being for this Republican Party. Does he actually believe that they think and have faith in his abilities as a politician? A survey says no, they don't.
They don't. And the problem with Tim is, Tim is so used to selling out and bootlicking that anything they say, he gonna believe.
See.
Now, Tim, now, when we get to the debate stage, we're going to let you go. Oh, you'll probably be about the fourth or fifth one, and this is what we want you to say. Yes, I'm boss. Yes, I'm boss. I can do that.
Oh, my goodness. You know, I can't think of anybody who was a worse candidate than, I almost said this brother's name, and we talked about him extensively earlier in the year. Oh my goodness! It's gonna come to me. I just lost it.
But you're actually right about.
Yes, yes. And then there was another one, the one who, Herschel Walker.
Oh my God.
Herschel Walker, we can't leave Herschel out. I knew it would come to me. Now, I don't know what the problem is with Herschel, but Herschel was obviously ill-equipped to run for public office. So that was...
I don't know why you said you don't know what the problem was, because you know what the problem was. Herschel Walker, as a football player, he played for the New Jersey Generals. At that time, the New Jersey Generals were owned by He That Attracts Flies. And he used to always go into the locker room and pat Herschel on the head and tell Herschel, you're my number one guy.
See?
And Herschel bought into that. He bought into believing that he was this man's ride or die. He believed everything that he was being told, and no matter what it was, he will always have my back because he said so.
See, it's just terrible. It is.
During his campaign, there were people from his neighborhood who said this was nothing new for him because he had been that type of guy from junior high all the way to high school.
Wow.
He did what they told him to do.
Wow. Well, that must have made things a lot easier for him to not have to think about anything and just do what you're told.
Man.
Mm.
That is
scary. That puts me in mind of somebody like Stacey Dash, who obviously, I don't know if it's all the chemical relaxer she used or what, but the girl got problems, serious problems about.
You could have went all night without bringing up her name, and I'd have been good. But man, why?
I know. Well, if I bring up Stacey, I could also bring up Candace Owens. You know, we don't want to see at the cookout. But I'm going to say this. I'm about to say somebody that I respect and I like, and who is an EGOT winner, and that's Whoopi Goldberg.
Oh, she can come
to the cookout for me. Yeah,
she can come. She can get on the grill. She can do whatever she want to do.
She can do whatever she want to do.
I'm going to tell you who else can come.
Who's that?
I'm going to tell you who else can come. My Auntie Maxine Waters can come.
Oh, yes. Yes.
Maxine can come.
Yes. She has earned her spot because these are women who have blocked for a lot of people on a lot of different issues.
Yes, sir.
And he did so unapologetically.
I'm going to tell you who else can come. My big uncle James Claiborne can come.
Yes. Yes. He had some controversy.
He don't have that kind of controversy. Why? Because he's been around a long time, and they're trying to find a way to knock him off. But he can come.
He can. I don't have a problem with him coming. Now, if he can stand the heat from them getting on him about gerrymandering and cooking up his district, okay, I have no problem with that. But I might, you know, make sure that
I have no problem with it because. The only thing he doing, like Barry White used to say, he playing their game. That's what the GOP do.
Well, yeah, I just want to make sure that a majority of Black folks are not getting trampled in the herd. But I see what you're saying. He has stood the test of time. He really has. He's been through a lot. And his leadership, his leadership was really important with the Congressional Black Caucus. So, yeah, I have no problem with him.
That's right.
Yeah.
And I'm going to tell you who else can come. My dog Hakeem Jeffries can come.
Well, Hakeem can definitely come. Hakeem he can bring Barbara Lee from the Bay Area with him.
You want him there. You need him there.
The minority speaker, yes. Yes.
Because you have got to be ready to inspire this next generation going into 2024.
Yeah, you do. Because there's going to be some serious battles coming up, folks. And we have to be ready to fight them. We really do. You got to be ready. And don't just try to get ready. You got to be ready. So,
the bottom line is we got to start.
Are telling y'all to, get, if you're not registered to vote, get registered to vote. Get registered.
Like I always say, your vote is your voice. And like Sister Reed say, hey, if you get ready, you ain't got to stay ready. We're going to be ready to do this. Let's not wait until 2024. Let's get our ducks in a row starting now.
Starting now. And not just today. Well, make sure you signed up. Make sure your family members are signed up. If neighbors need help getting they self signed up, help them. And for all you folks who are in those motor voter states and territories, you're lucky. Make sure that you vote. Make sure that you
make
vote.
It happen.
It's so
and we want to thank y'all for hanging with us tonight, talking about the barbecue.
No raisins.
Look around your neighborhood. Look through the family. Look and see who you want there and who you don't want there. Sister Reed, take it on.
All right. Y'all know what I'm going to say. It's all about a mindset. So we need y'all to stay Black until we get back with you.
Yes, indeed. Like I always say, each one, reach one, and teach one. Those of you proficient with your arms, take your folks out to the range, get them trained up. Teach them how to use that weapon correctly. Get them registered. Start a neighborhood watch. Start a cop watch. Watch the people who are watching us. As we get closer to 2024, make sure your registration is straight, not only for your weapon, but for you to vote. Let's pull it together.
Yeah.
Let's stop the infighting, and let's go to the polls. Seriously, let's go to the polls like a tornado. Let's go through there like a Texas storm. Let's do this. Let's make it happen. Let it be known that the blue wave is coming. We don't want no issues. Let's make it right. Let's clean it up.
Let's do it.
And until me and Sister Reed get back at y'all this upcoming Thursday, y'all stay safe. We'll holler.
We'll holler.
Oh, wait a minute. Hold on. We got a caller. Who is this? Caller, are you on the line?
Hello, my good friend. This is Dr. Harris.
Oh, Sister Reed. Get to
it. Reverend Floyd D. Harris, Jr. All right, now.
He going to try to slide and hit the last moment right over the hill.
Who's coming? Who's not coming to the barbecue? Well, that's what
we've been talking. Whether you a celebrity, whether you local, whether you Black, whether you white, we want to know who's coming and who's not coming, who's not invited to the barbecue.
So, Rev, got some time. Let us hear what you got to say.
Where you started, one of the things that, people knew that I ran for mayor of Fresno, and some people asked me, they said, why would you run for a seat that you may not win. And my response to this individual who made this statement to me, I told this individual, I said, well, do you know that there was a time in this country in history that it was illegal for us to vote? It was illegal for us to run for office?
That's
and
right.
I said, so, you know, our children are looking at us right now, seeing what we do and seeing what we don't do. And I said, you know, regardless of what the polls said, even though we came in third out of seven people, we came in third, and Dyer was so scary he didn't want to debate me on stage. He ran, his tail between his legs. And I understand why he ran and wanted to debate me. Because when we start dealing with policy, not personality, but policy, right?
Right.
Those are the things that we as black folk, African folk, our ancestors came over here on those ships, that we had to learn that marching was great. We had to do that. We had to bring the attention to the issue. But
right.
We had to get to the table where decisions are being made. It's hard, you know, I tell people it's hard to be looking outside in when folks are making decisions. We got to get in. I don't care. We got to kick the door in, go through the back door. We got to get to the table where decisions are being made. See, what's interesting about Fresno, and y'all know I call it Mississippi Fresno, is that we have really no black politicians that have black folk interests at heart here in this city. We have a Latino majority city council. We have a board of supervisors with no black folk on it. So who speaks for black folk in this county, in this city? And those that one or two that we do have elected officials, they quiet as a church house mouse. And so, you know, I encourage our people, the younger generation, whomever this African descent, to stand up for once in your life and quit worrying about the statistics, quit worrying about the naysayers. Just have a heart to stand for your people and stand for what's right. Let our children see that we have people in our community that will stand for them, speak for them, that will speak truth to power. Ain't worrying about going to jail. Ain't worrying about all that, but worrying about equality, you know, worrying about justice, you know, worrying about freedom, you know.
Yeah.
These are the things where we're at going into the 30th century. And you know what's interesting is that we're still fighting the same fight that Dr. King fought. We're fighting the same fight that Malcolm fought. We're fighting the same fight that Megan Evers fought. Megan Evers, secretary of the NAACP in Mississippi, got shot back his head with his four little girls on the other side of the door. Because
sure
he was just what you all talking about, getting black folks the right to vote, and he lost his life on the other side of his doorstep with his children on the other side. Because he had the heart and the guts to go out in the community to make a difference for his children and his family, his community, and he lost his life with a bullet behind his head.
Yeah, he did. Right in
this is real history that we're talking about, and we have to take our history, learn from it, but use it as power for us today. And to teach our children that you come from kings and queens. You don't come from thugs. God didn't make thugs. White folks made thugs. We are giants in this nation. And it hadn't been for black people, family, there would be no United Snakes of America. We made this country what it is today. And if you see in Mississippi, they're trying... They're trying to bring back the Jim Crow laws in Mississippi right now.
I know. We got to fight. That's why Brother Bullock and I are always talking about get registered and vote. You know, how is it you always say, Brother Bullock, about your vote being your voice? Yeah.
Your vote is your voice.
Yes.
This is why we vote, so that you can use your vote.
Yes.
So
yes.
One of the things that I can respect, Sister Eileen, well, I respect her on a lot of levels, but, you know, when she was the president of the West Fresno Democratic Club, I was the first president of the club when we first started the club. And forget what number she came in, fourth or fifth president at the time. And one of the things that Eileen did that no other president did in the West Fresno Democratic Club, which a club that was supposed to speak for black people issues. I don't know what it's doing right now. I hear they don't even meet every month. I hear they meet every 2 or 3 months.
Mm-hmm.
But one thing that Eileen did, Brother Tony, that I didn't even do, is she got out in West Fresno on a corner and had a voter registration table registering her people to vote in her community. How superb is that? You just don't see that in the community anymore, a voter registration table. And I take that seriously because, as you know, I pastor Free AME, and we have a food giveaway every Thursday at 11 o'clock.
Mm.
And I'm going to set up a voter registration table right there where we have 100, 200 people come through every week.
Mm-hmm.
And we're going to talk about the importance of voting in our community. Mm.
Yes.
See? And hopefully we can get Alex and Brother Tony out there. Maybe they can run a show when we do the voter registration table. But it's important. It's important. Mm-hmm. That
it is.
And I hear a lot of people say, what I'm gonna vote for, you can't buck City Hall. They're gonna do what they wanna do, regardless of my vote. We have people to say that right here in West Fresno. I think a lady said that when me and Eileen was out there.
Yeah, she did, and wanted to fight about it. I remember that. That was over at Maxie Parks,
sure. Parks, that's what it was.
Yeah.
She wanted to get out and fight with Eileen.
Yeah.
Because she was running a voter registration table?
Yeah, because I went back down and agreed with her that it didn't matter that she didn't vote. I wouldn't agree with her.
Wow.
So, yeah, she stood there for a good 10 minutes arguing back and forth. But I was like, you know what? Rev couldn't convince her. I couldn't convince her. And she left. She left in a huff. Sister who had to have been in her 40s or 50s if she was a day. And she should have known better. You know, that's not the role model that we want. We don't want to model that kind of behavior for our kids. And there were a lot of Latinos who were there who couldn't register. Why? Because they were not U.S. citizens. And we understood that. And they said if we could, we would. So, you know, there is that. But we have no excuse for not registering and to vote. And for people who have been, you know, inside prison walls, I've been told by many people, once you get out, you can have your voting rights restored. Now, I can't verify that. I would have to look that up, so I don't know.
Yeah, that right there, it depends on what state you're in.
Okay.
Each state has a different rule for that.
Okay. Well, see, thank you, Brother Bullock. Because I wasn't sure, and I don't want to give out misinformation. But it's important that we do. And for Fresnans, you know, for any local black folks that are listening, you know, you might want to say that we don't have the numbers. But listen, we never have the numbers, and we still have black people on that city council. We never have the numbers, but we still have black people on the city council. And I hope I live long enough to see a black mayor. Because I think Reverend Harris, Reverend Dr. Harris would have been a good choice. Brother Bullock and myself and a lot of other people worked hard on that campaign. But that's okay because issues got addressed. Problems got talked about from Southwest Fresno, West Fresno, that wouldn't have been talked about if it wasn't for Harris. So,
Sister Eileen, what was so great about the campaign that y'all just remarkable managers and, you know, all that you've done is that the children had an opportunity to be part of a campaign. That was so unique for me. Our children were walking precincts. You hear me? Our children believed in me, and I believed in them. And their parents believed in me and believed in us. And those children walked precincts with us.
Right.
Running for the highest seat. The highest seat in the city is mayor.
Right. And the thing about that is they got to see it at the ground roots level.
Mm-hmm.
That's true. I think back to when I was 11, 12 years old, and my Aunt Juanita was on the city council of Richmond, California, which is when I start really getting interested in politics. And for our kids to see this, it lets them know that one day they too could step out there and do the same thing that you was doing, Dr. Harris. They could run for city council. They could run for mayor of this city.
That's right. That's right. All they need is the strength and the will to do it, and they will have backup. Yes, yes. Well said, brother. Well said. That was a momentous, it was an enlightening campaign, and I know it wasn't easy. I mean, Reverend Harris, you got a lot of stuff going on with, you know, your church work and your congregation as well as Freedom School, but I was so proud. You know, I was so proud of you and that entire campaign, the staff and the kids. You know, so this is what we're talking about, y'all, listeners. This is about, we're talking about laying the foundation for our future. And this is what our shows are about, West Side Vision, Dr. Harris' Black Lives Matter show. We're talking about stuff that's important for our people. And we never want to lose sight of that. We had a fun show tonight because we were talking about the cookout. So, Rev, you are most welcome to come to the cookout, for real. you can come to the cookout. We need some greens that we and some cornbread. Listeners, Reverend Harris can burn on the cornbread. See, he and Brother Tony Bullock are grill masters. I'm not. I'm like a chancy kind of cook. I know how to cook the stuff that I like to eat. But these two brothers can really, they can get down. You know, they can get down. I cannot make cornbread like Reverend Harris. I cannot barbecue like Brother Tony. But
well,
these
two
brothers. Yeah, you're welcome. You're welcome. I just laid out. I'm not ashamed because, see, I don't want to be one of those aunties that can't come to the cookout because it's like, what's she bringing? So I volunteer to bring the aluminum foil and the cups and the ice and all that good stuff.
Well, you know, since we're talking about who's coming to the cookout, I think we need to have a soul food cook-off show at Fame and have judges see who can cook the best ribs or the best chicken or the best pie. Peach cobbler or whatever. And just have
that would
fun,
be
fun. You know, I just think we try to have fun.
Remember when we did that for the fried okra and the kids all came up with their different recipes for fried okra and the grown-ups were like the taste testers and everything because they came up with their own recipes. That was a fun time. That was a fun time. And it's important to have fun.
that's a good idea. And, you know, not do it as a competition, but just do it as a fun thing. And get the neighborhood involved. Do like they do it, the new schools now. Everybody gets a participation ribbon.
Right.
So that nobody can say, well, I didn't get a ribbon. No, everybody gets a ribbon.
Everybody gets a ribbon.
Yeah.
Okay, well, I'll take my ribbon now because y'all already know.
See, look at you. Trying to get a ribbon by default. How you going to act?
That's right.
But at least you ain't getting no raisins in the potato salad. So, yeah, you can get a ribbon.
That's right. And no apples in the coleslaw. Yeah.
Exactly.
No apples in the coleslaw.
Let me tell you guys a little story before I get off the line. We just want to thank you for this radio show. It's a blessing. You know, one day when I was probably like 9 years old, we had a barbecue gathering at my father's house, and someone responsible for making the juice, or Kool-Aid, or whatever it was. And you know, when it's hot, like, you know, and we had a swimming pool in the back, you know, and everybody was getting thirsty. And so they made all these cups, you know, and they put juice in it, they put them out on the table. And everybody ran up at one time, you know, and everybody grabbed their cup. And like one by one, there was about 10 people kind of drunk it at the same time. And everybody blew it out of their mouth because somebody put salt in the Kool-Aid instead of sugar.
Okay.
Oh, my God. That was so funny. Oh, man. It was salt in the Kool-Aid.
Oh, my thigh hurt. Okay.
That's the one we gonna go home on.
Yes. Thank you for sharing, Rev. That was funny.
Hey, Rev, we appreciate the share on that one.
Okay. Y'all take care now.
Hey, you do the same. And look here, we know that you are. Dr. Harris is doing Black Lives Matter tomorrow night. Hey, Dr. Harris, what time are you starting your show tomorrow?
8 o'clock.
All right.
8 o'clock.
He will be on the air at 8 o'clock. And like I say, today's show was all about fun, but you also learned some lessons if you paid attention. So like I said, hey, each one reach one and teach one. Y'all stay up until we get back at you. We gonna holler.
We'll holler.